We're glad you guys are here. And this whole concept of a new year, it fits perfectly into where we're going over this next month. And this new series we're calling Confessions, because I think that as we make resolutions, there's some resolutions that we make, and everybody knows you need to make them. You know, like some people you say, like, I need to lose weight. And most, you know, people are like, yeah, I mean, good luck with it. You know, like, good luck with that. You know, like, you can't hide that. If you do, you do. And if you don't, you don't. And then there's some things, there's these secret things that we hold on to that we don't, nobody knows about us. We don't want anybody to know, but we know they need to change. And that's what we're going to talk about over these next few weeks in this confession series, is this idea that everybody has a secret. Everybody has a secret. Every person in this room has something that they don't want somebody else to find out. Every person in this room has something. I'll say it again because I want you to know that I know this about you. You have something that you don't want me to know. You have something you don't want the people that you're married to find out. Every person has a secret. That's part of it. We all keep secrets. There's reasons we keep secrets. So, I mean, some people keep a secret just because, just fear of rejection, right? Just all out. If somebody else found out, they will not want to be near me anymore. Some people keep secrets to protect other people. I mean, I know things about Mike I can't tell you, and I want to protect him, you know? Like, I got to make sure. Right? I won't tell anybody, I promise. Out of protection, like if I were to share this, it could ruin their reputation. Right? Some people keep secrets just out of power. It's that whole I know something you don't know thing. It's my ace in the hole. I'm going to hold on to this. It's my power. It's what I'm holding on to. And sometimes it's just straight up embarrassment, isn't it? Man, I hope nobody ever finds this out. I would be so embarrassed. So we all have secrets. We all keep secrets. But I've been doing reading this past week on this idea of keeping secrets and holding things in. And both the medical doctors and the psychologists, they all agree on one thing. Keeping secrets is bad for your overall health. Because they say it adds to anxiety in your life. It adds to stress in your life. Or there are things like addiction that if kept secret, they never get treated. And they just get worse. Things like illnesses that if we kept them secret, eventually you die from them. And I don't want to bother anybody. I'll just die secretly and hold on to that. I mean, there's secrets overall are bad for your health, just in general, not just mentally, but also physically, the holding on to secrets. So here's what we're doing. We're in a new series. It's called Confessions. And our goal is this. We're going to help each and every one of you admit and publicly declare your deepest, darkest secret. Bring the microphone up. Look, you are scared. Some of you are not, you don't like that at all. Even the people that listen to this podcast just hit pause. You know, no. Settle in. Focus down, all right? Let me tell you that we're going to protect you. I don't want to know your business. You don't want to know my business. I promise. And we just had a jailbreak straight out of the back. Did y'all hear that? I'm sorry, and I tried to, my ADHD was like, they just escaped. I kept waiting for all the kids to rush the stage. All I heard was, I thought it was like the lions at the zoo right there. It was awesome. Awesome. Secrets, that's where we are. Man, this is why I keep notes, so I can keep up. So we're going to help you confess, but we're not going to confess your business. I mean, some of that may come up internally. We're actually going to keep our focus on this, confessions of the church. Maybe even more specifically, confessions of the body, those who call themselves followers of Christ who make up the church, the gathering of the believers. And we're going to talk about those confessions. And so today, we're going to start this one big, and we're going to start talking about a confession that I have, but I honestly believe that every single one of us in this room can make or should make. Now, maybe you've never said it out loud, but I bet you've thought it. Here's confession number one. I hate Christians. Stay with me. I hate Christians. And man, I mean, just, we don't say that out loud, do we? Especially not in church. Especially not in this kind of setting. It's one of those things that even just to think about it, it seems so wrong because God is love, is he not? And I just heard a great series over the past 5 weeks. This preacher was talking about how God loved us and forgave us, and we're supposed to re-gift those. It was a great series. It was at Awestruck Church, and I hate most of y'all missed it. Good gracious. We're supposed to, God is love, and so we're supposed to love. We're supposed to love people, love God, love people. And to say, I hate Christians, I mean, it just seems so wrong, doesn't it? Because God is love. But then this week, Pastor Mike reminded me of some verses that were there that made me feel better about this. So if you don't like this, you can blame him. He's sitting right there, striped sweater, guy who did the announcements. Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 16. Look what this teaches us about God, God who is love. Look. It says, there are six things the Lord hates. Six things the Lord hates. No, seven things that he detests. Verse 17, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord in a family, arrogance, lying, murdering, plotting to do evil, doing wrong things, being a false witness, spreading gossip. Doesn't this sound like most churches we've been to? I knew that joke was either going to fail or go great. I mean, I actually read it to my wife. Every week I read the sermon to my wife, and I was like, that one's either going to go over really well or it's not going to go over at all. Good. We'll just chalk it up to didn't go over at all. We'll leave it at that. It just went. It never got anywhere. It's still going. These are things that God hates, but God is love, for sure. We talked a lot about that. God is love, but there are things that God hates. God hates these type of people. Now, I want to bring some clarification to this, and I want you to understand, every week is different, and if you've been coming to Awestruck or heard me preach at all, you know, some weeks have really, really long intros and really short points. And today's that. Like, it's going to take me forever to get to my point. So just hang on. It's a really, really long intro day. So we're still there. We're still introing. And when you get to the point, I'll tell you so we don't miss it. We'll all kind of land the plane together, okay? We'll get there together. And so there's this idea of hate. And so I want to give you something to help us wrap our heads around it. How many of you have played organized sports? You don't really have to raise your hand, but most of us in there, whether it be like pick up on the playground or actually on a team with a jersey, we've played some kind of organized sport with the team, right? And it's, here's the thing, on those teams, there always seems to be one who is doing the best they can to keep everybody else from doing well, right? Maybe they're lazy at practice. They don't show up on time. They don't put in the work that you put in. Maybe they're a ball hog. Maybe they shoot the ball every time you pass it to them. And they, you know, they're sabotaging because they don't make it, right? They just shoot and they just make it. Maybe they don't know the plays, right, Mark? I mean, you're a line coordinator, but there's defensive plays on the football field. Everybody has an assignment. Maybe they just don't take the time to learn the plays. They miss their defensive assignment. The other team scores. Maybe they just have a bad attitude. I mean, it doesn't take but that one person, right, to get really frustrated and bring the mood and the momentum of the whole team down, right? Because there's this deal that it only takes one person on the organized team to just kind of ruin everything, doesn't it? Are we all in agreement on that? As I was growing up playing sports and then now coaching sports, there's this saying that I used to hear growing up, and now I repeat, and I bet some of you know it. First Service was able to finish it for me. Our team is only as strong as the weakest link. Yeah. Our team is only as strong as the weakest link. We always heard that growing up. And then our coach would say that, and we would all stare at the weakest link. Right? And you didn't want to be looked at after that was said. And the coach never had to say, you're the one bringing us down. We as the teammates would let them know just by glaring at them. Our team is only as strong as the weakest link. In sports, we have one objective. We have one goal, and that is to win. That's to win the ball game. But we've all been there and done that and played on a team with somebody who it seems like they're going against and they're working against us accomplishing this shared goal of winning. Now apply that to Christianity. In Christianity, as followers of Christ, as those who make up the body of Christ, we have a shared goal. And it is to demonstrate the love of Jesus to the world. It is to further the kingdom of God. But unfortunately, doesn't it seem like there's people around us who, like, their one objective is to stand in the way of us achieving our goal? People like the Westboro Baptist Church come to mind. I said I hate Christians, and all of you went, shame, shame. I say Westboro, and you go, me too. Right? Because now all of a sudden when I say I hate Christians, and we understand it in that context, we go, yeah, maybe me too, because they're picketing veterans' funerals, and they're picketing funerals with these atrocious signs, and then there's people who are on TV and in media who have these terribly racist and homophobic, and I'm not talking about Phil Robertson, I like Duck Dynasty, but they totally misrepresent what the Bible says. And they stand on these terrible platforms of Christianity that have nothing to do with scriptural truth, but they're wearing the same uniform as us, aren't they? They're standing for Christians, and we're going, we got the same uniform, but man, you're doing nothing but bringing us down. And there's the turn or burn, you know, go to hell. You might go to hell. You better get right or you'll get left, you know. Like all these, there's those preachers who, when you hear them, they preach it as if there's no chance of going to heaven. And you hear them talk and you go, that you got the same uniform on, but we're not really working. You're kind of in the way. And there's the legalistic who have condemned every person for everything that they'll ever do, right? I mean, if you're not wearing like culottes, neck, you know, you have no chance of entering the pearly gates because they've condemned, right? Are y'all with me? Most of them are homeschooled. I have nothing against homeschoolers. I'm just saying most of them are. Damn, my wife's in the service. I just got the look like we're talking when we get home. I have good friends who homeschool their kids, and they wear turtlenecks and culottes. But they, right, like, so they're, I'm kidding, kinda. And they, listen, there's this idea that we have all these people that are wearing the same uniform, but man, there aren't they, they're just not on, we're not really on the same team. And so when we start talking about this stuff, and I say, man, I hate Christians. I hate those Christians. They're people who are on our team, but they're fighting against the shared goal. And we see that God hated these things. So what then, if Jesus is our example and we turn to Jesus as how to act, what would Jesus say about these people? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you look with me in Matthew chapter 23 and look at these words of Jesus. Jesus is speaking, and these are coming right out of his mouth to a crowd that could confirm that he actually says this. And when you hear what Jesus said and how he reacted to these type of people we're talking about hating, you have to start to wonder, are we then justified in our hatred towards these Christians? Look at Matthew chapter 23 and verse 13. And this is long, so just deal with it. But I want you to see this all in context. And I want you to see that, just kind of read in to the mindset of Jesus. It says, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites? For you shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You won't go in yourself, but you don't let others enter either. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you cross land and sea to make one convert, and then you turn that person into twice the child of hell that you yourselves are." Happy words, right? Verse 16, "Blind guides, what sorrow awaits you. For you say that it means nothing to swear by God's temple, but that it is binding to swear by the gold in the temple. Blind fools, which is more important, the gold in the temple that makes the gold, it's been a long day, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred?" Verse 18, and you say that you swear by the altar is not binding, but to swear by the gifts on the altar is binding. How blind! For which is more important, the gift on the altar or the altar that makes the gift sacred? When you swear by the altar, you're swearing by it and by everything on it. And when you swear by the temple, you're swearing by it and by God who lives in it. And when you swear by heaven, you're swearing by the throne of God and by God who sits on the throne. Verse 23, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb garden. gardens, but you ignore the most important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Blind guides, you strain water so you won't accidentally swallow a gnat, but you swallow a camel. Verse 25, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgent. You blind Pharisee, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. We'll stop there. Jesus never says the word hate, does he? But I think it's pretty safe to imply. He's not happy. He's actually pretty ticked off, it sounds like. I mean, this is a long speech that he's making in front of a crowd, directly to the face of the leaders of the religious movement. And he's saying to them, what sorrow awaits you? You're blind guides. You're arrogant. Your hypocrisy is evident. And he has good reason then to be angry, to express hatred. I mean, they're saying in verse 13 that they're making God unapproachable to the common man. In verse 14, we see that they're making their faith a show. They want everybody to see it so they can gain attention. In verse 15, he says, and you're using your faith for selfish agenda so you can get what you want. You're getting people's attention and you're getting what you want. Verse 16 through 23, he says, and you're greedy. All you want is the money and all you care about is the stuff. Verse 23, he says to them, you are faithless, you are merciless, and you are corrupt. And then verse 27 through 28, he says, you're hypocrites. These are arrogant leaders of the church. And what would Jesus say about hating Christians? I think he said it, would he not? I think he made the statement, did he not? He expressed a form of hatred. God is love, but guess what? God also hates. Jesus is full of love, but guess what? In these verses, we see that he expresses hatred right here. And he's speaking boldly. So according to the scripture, we should love what God loves and hate what God hates, right? That's what Romans 12:9 says. It says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. It says this, hate what is wrong and hold tightly to what is good. And I read this and I see the words of God and I see the words that Jesus spoke and I read these kind of verses and maybe, just maybe, our hatred towards Christians is a justified thing according to Scripture, is it not? I mean, at least I've got you thinking about it. I mean, our confession today is this, I hate Christians. And I said to you, every one of you in this room has made it or will make it. It applies to every single one of you. And the reality is right now, you're either going, I've been saying that for years, or you're extremely uncomfortable. Either way, it's good because it was on purpose. Again, I read it to my wife and I said, do you like this? And I quit right here and I said, do you like this? She went, I don't know. Because one way or the other, you feel something right now. I've just spent the last few minutes explaining to you how the Bible says it's okay to hate Christians. And that was my intro. So now I'm going to get to my point and we'll be done. Because this is where things get a little personal. And things start to get a little bit kind of messy as we start to blend this intro with the real point. Okay? Because I do hate Christians. I hate the hypocrite. I think they hit the hypocrites. I hate the judgmental. I hate those who gossip. I hate those who slander and put other people down. I hate people that are prideful and selfish and the people that just seem like they don't care, right? Like they're wearing the same jersey, but they don't seem to be pushing for the team. Don't you hate those? I hate those type of people, but here's where it gets messy. It's okay to hate what God hates. That's what Scripture says. Hate what God hates and love what God loves. But let me throw the caution in there. As you move forward with this concept of hating what God hates, you better be very careful when you make that kind of resolution. Here's why. Read back through Scripture. Doesn't matter where you open it. Old Testament, New Testament. It's full of stories from the beginning. No matter what you have like where you read. And I highly recommend you read from beginning to end. It's a great time to start. We're only a few days behind. Every year I make a commitment to read all the way through Genesis to Revelation. It's incredible. If you have a phone or whatever and you have the app, the YouVersion Bible app, there's like 782 different reading plans to take you through Old Testament to New Testament. Chronological, all kinds of just incredible reading plans. I highly recommend you do that. You're only 5 days or 4 days behind. If you start today, you can catch up. But if you read, as you read, hopefully from beginning to end, from Revelation, you'll see stories of people, real people that really existed. Here's the issue with the idea of hate, and I hate Christians. Every one of those people was real, and every one of those people was imperfect. Every single person throughout Scripture and every single person throughout the history of the world was full of the qualities that God hates. Not one of them lined up. Not one of them had arrived. Not one of them had achieved perfection. Every single person through history and every single person throughout Scripture failed. None of them had arrived. And so when we read these stories in the Bible, we read these excerpts of who God hated and what God hated and what Jesus said and his hatred towards the Pharisees. He called them hypocrites and blind guides and said, oh, what sorrow awaits you. I mean, Scripture is full of everything. We get advice in there. We get instruction in there. There's encouragement. There's challenges. There are rebukes. And guess what? There's moments of frustration. I would say this thing we just read about Jesus, he's very frustrated. But what was he frustrated about? Who was he frustrated with? If God hates and Jesus hates, what do they hate? We never see that he hates the person. What we see is he hates the attributes of the person. And so I do hate liars. And I do hate gossipers. And I do hate arrogance. And I do hate those who try to tear a family down and destroy a church. I hate all those because it's justified, because guess who else does? God. God hates those things, and he says we should hate what he hates and we should love what he loves. But when you read from Old Testament to New Testament, what we never see is a book full of hate. We see a book that's written and it's full of grace and it's full of mercy and it's full of hope. And so every time we see these kinds of encounters, what we're seeing is the kind of thing that would have been written, that one person speaking to another person, the intention of everything written would be to bring you into more intimate, deeper intimacy with God the Father, not to destroy, always to build up. And so when Jesus said, hey, I hate these things, when God said, these are the things we hate, the idea is he never hated the person, he hated the attribute. And this is good news, because every person from the beginning of history until now, every person at the beginning of Scripture to the end of Scripture failed miserably. Every one of us, every person that we know in history is imperfect and full of the qualities that God hates. And guess who's on that list? In the first service, somebody said, you. Thanks. Guess who's on that list? Insert your name right there. You have failed miserably. You are imperfect and you are full of the qualities that God hates. How many of you have never gossiped? Raise your hand. How many of you have never lied? Raise your hand. You just did. How many of you, that was a good one. How many of you have ever murdered? Right, in your head. Uh-huh, see, right, everybody went, oh, me, no, in your head, right? There's always that one person where you're like, oh, one day you're going to get it. If I could just, How many of you have really never committed murder in your head? Like you watched it all play out. Maybe that's just me. Figured out how you'd cover it up and where you'd put them and you'd blame it on and who your alibi. No, I'm just kidding. We've all thought those type of thoughts, right? Right? How many, raise your hand if you've never been arrogant. Raise your hand. God hates that. God hates gossip, and God hates slander, and God hates lying, and God hates arrogance. How many, raise your hand if you've never been greedy, right? We just made this list. Raise your hand if you've never been merciless. Raise your hand if you've never been a hypocrite over anything. God hates that. I mean, all of us are guilty. That's what Romans 3:23 says, right? Who sinned? All have sinned. Who's fallen short of the glory of God? All have fallen short of God's standard. All have sinned. All have fallen short. Every single one of us. And here's the beautiful thing about this whole concept is, aren't you glad that God's hatred towards sin doesn't overtake His mercy? Aren't you glad that God's disdain and hatred for rebellion doesn't overtake His grace? See, all of us have fallen short. Do I hate Christians? I hate the attributes of the Christian who keeps us from reaching our shared goal. God hates the attributes of the Christian that keeps us from reaching our shared goal. But every single one of us, so therefore, every single one of us are objects of God's hate. Every one of us. Tweet that. Somehow y'all get the most obscure, crazy things I say and you put them on social media. So tweet that. At Josh Parrish said, God hates all of us. This morning at Awestruck Church. You should come visit next week. Amen. Y'all seen it, right? Y'all put the dumbest stuff I say out there. Josh Parrish just quoted Sir Mix-a-Lot and said, I like big butts. I cannot lie. That's a true statement. I did say that a lot. I mean, all of us are objects. I'm glad y'all. This is the best service we've ever had in the whole year. All of us are objects of God's hate. We agree? If He hates those things, are we not? But more importantly, and watch this, and here's what I want you to see. All of us are even more the objects of God's love. And aren't you glad that His hatred does not overtake His love? So, does God hate? Yeah. Is God love? Yes, He's all those things. Is it okay to hate the things that God hates? I honestly believe it's okay to be annoyed by and be frustrated by and even sometimes hate. I hate the Westboro Baptist Church people. I really do. They annoy me and frustrate me and bring out, that's that whole murder in my mind thing, right? There it comes again. Like I really dislike, and I honestly believe it's okay to be frustrated by and to hate and to genuinely dislike certain Christians and certain attributes of Christians. But let me just tell you, when we hear that and we understand that God hates and we should hate what He hates, we shouldn't just point it at somebody else. We should take it very personally. This concept and this understanding that God hates certain attributes, it should sting us. It should drop us to our knees in humility with an understanding that we are objects of God's hate because of who we are and what we do and how we behave. And it's okay to be annoyed. It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to look at others and those who, man, there are Christians who just give Christ a bad name, aren't they? But man, let me just give you a piece of caution as we close. Before you cast that first stone, before you toss the first insult, we need to understand something. We need to understand that we need to evaluate what role am I playing in the kingdom of God. We all got the jersey. We're all technically on the same team, but are we moving the kingdom of God forward? Or are we holding everything back? Let's pray together.